A very warm welcome to everyone who's here today worshipping with us. Old faces, new faces, first timers, people who've been here forever, you're all really, really welcome. I feel I've been here forever, that's why I say it. Only quick reminder that next Sunday is the circuit service here at 10:30, and Abby from Woodlands is leading that service, so it would be lovely if we have a good congregation for her, and I hope lots of the circuit join us too. Richard has been praying with Jonathan and is preparing for this time of worship, and we welcome him now to take our service.
Good morning. I think it's appropriate to add that the service for the closing of Green Close is this afternoon at 2:30. It'd be good to support our sister congregation in that. It'd be good to give them a challenge of how to fit us in, I think. We are going to close our service with the little blessing that Hilary just sang for us just now. So in order that we're ready for it, I think it might be a new song. We're going to sing it through once at the start of the service so we can learn the words. The peace of the earth be with you. The two halves are very similar, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you want to play the first half through?
Yeah. Well, not too similar.
Oh, not that similar. Okay.
Do the whole lot.
The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too.
Should we just do the first bit again? Should we just do the first bit again, Richard?
Okay, yeah, and then follow it through. Yeah.
Okay.
The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you, God's peace growing in you.
Okay, so you'll be ready for that at the end. Let's come and worship God. And let's start our worship as we sing our first hymn. God is here as we, his people, come to offer praise and prayer.
Right. sustains us as of old. Hear the servants of the servant, seek him worship to explore what it means in daily living to believe and to adore. Lord of all of church and kingdom, in an age of change and doubt, keep us faithful to the gospel. Help us work your purpose out. Here in this day's dedication, all we have to give, receive. We who cannot live without you, we adore you, we believe.
Please be seated. And let us pray. Dear God, loving Father, as we come here to offer you our praise and prayer, we ask you to be with us, to share this time, to bless this hour. We hope that your Spirit will come and invigor us and empower us. We hope that we will be made aware of the greatness of you, Father God, the Creator. And we want to be led in how we should live by the example of God the Son. God, for all you have to offer us, we give you thanks and come to you, the focus of our worship. Amen. And Hilary's going to introduce us to our theme with a very short and familiar reading.
The reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul.
One of the things I found most difficult about leading worship, is deciding what to focus on. Very often I'll go to the lectionary reading, and when I see the readings, I'll be inspired. But today I've been led by what's going on in the garden. We have our muddy church today. So the children of the church are going outside. I've seen several of them with wellies on, and they're going to get a little bit muddy. They're doing some stuff in the garden, which you might hear for a little while, and then they're going to go into the back space where they're going to have some water play, and then they're going to come in here and help us in our final act of worship. So I've picked up on the Muddy Church theme, and the Muddy Church theme is presented on this particular slide. It's designed to be put in the middle of a group of people who are on the floor, so there's some of it that's upside down to most of you, but I'll assume that you can read a little bit of upside down. What things are green? Can you see water anywhere? I wonder if God is ever still. That's an interesting question. Can you hear stillness? I wonder if you can see anything in need. Those are the sorts of questions that the children are going to be exploring in their activity. We're going to explore in our time together,
And then we'll come together in a final act of prayer where we can share what we've found together. But first of all, I want to slow us down. And I'm now going to read the whole psalm, but I want you to just relax into it. Remember that phrase, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Well, I'm not going to ask you to lie down, but I do want you to relax as if you were lying down. And I've chosen the Message version of the psalm. I've chosen that because it will feel familiar, but not too familiar. And it might be that different things come up into your mind this time. So I suggest perhaps that you just relax yourself. Close your eyes if you want to. Listen to the sounds you can hear. Enjoy them. And enjoy these words. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath. And send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. We thank God for these words of the psalmist. Amen. One hymn that picks up some of these themes is one of my favourites. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways.
Deeper rest.
gracious calling of the Lord, let us, like them without a word, rise up and follow thee. Rise up and follow thee. O Sabbath, rest by Galilee, O come of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity, interpreted by love. Interpreted by love. Drop thy statues of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace, the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heat of our desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake, wind and fire, or still small voice of calm. Or still small voice of calm.
Please be seated. And could we have my next slide, please? This is a slide that's produced by the Muddy Church activity pack for children to look at. I think perhaps children a little bit older than the group we've got in the garden at the moment. But the idea is to look at this picture and think of it, how it relates to the 23rd Psalm that we've just heard. So I'll give you a couple of seconds to just take it in and think, are there any elements of this picture that resonate with that psalm? Is there anything in this picture that particularly speaks to you in the context of what we've heard read? How about your experience? I must say I've never been up in a balloon, but I can well imagine. Isn't that great? You go up and there's a silence in the balloon that I suspect is very different to a silence you get anywhere else.
Except when there's a jet.
Except the way they go, shh, yeah. So the balloon lifting you above it all, yeah. Signpost is leading the way. And actually, I think one of the things about the signpost is that there's two choices. There's one signpost going one way and one signpost going the other. So there's something about being led in the way and being directed in the way, but also it's a little bit about a choice of the way as well. Yes. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, in the busyness of everything that's up at the front, there's that constant background of green grass and, I think in this instance, perhaps flowing rather than still water. Yeah.
And a picnic basket.
It's a picnic basket.
Not lying in green pastures, but sitting in green pastures.
Sitting in green pastures. Okay, is there another bit that remind you of? He lies out a banquet for me in the sight of my enemies, doesn't it? And I think we tend to think of a table and lots of food inside, but why not think of a picnic on the grass outside? There's a tent, there's somewhere to shelter and lie down, isn't it? Some idea of, I think one of the things that comes out of the this psalm is the protectiveness of God, isn't it? The protection we get from God, and there's a tent to protect us. Yeah. That might be a bit too far, but yeah, I mean, there is a director's chair there. Maybe there's something about direction. Yeah.
The winter ban, is that part of our saving the planet? The message was going out 2,000 years ago, plus, that we've got to appreciate what we've got and not abuse it.
I think there's a very strong thing there, isn't it? Yes, we've got the wind turbines. It's a sense of how we look after the planet that we've been given. And I think for all this psalm was written, what, perhaps 2,500, 3,000 years ago, it's got some really strong resonances for the world we live in today that we'll explore a little bit later. You can't, if you find a football lying there, you can't do anything other than kick it, can you? No, it invites you into enjoying these things. Yeah, I think it's... So, there are... I think one of the things that is interesting about this picture is it isn't all positive. And I think comes out of it the fact that we're in different places at different times. And some of us may be worrying about the skeletal fish in the waters. Some of us may be worried about that cloud in the background, and there's that really sinister tree, isn't there? Some of us may be fearing the valley of death. The sign? That plant needs watering, so we need to care for this place, isn't it? It isn't something that we can just take for granted. It's somewhere we need to care for, which I think goes a little bit along with the turbines as well, doesn't it? Sorry? There's bright sunshine, so the overall, if we can get away from that cloud, and there's plenty of things, plenty of places we can get away from the cloud, we can appreciate the brightness and positivity of the experience. Let's just say a prayer for those of us who are in different places at this time. Dear God, thank you for showing us this picture and introducing the psalm in ways that we haven't perhaps touched upon before. There'll be many of us here who read this psalm and feel assurance and comfort and who feel generally positive about the way things are. There will be other people here who are actually anxious about all sorts of things, perhaps about the state that the world is in, perhaps about things in their family and whole lives. And we just come to you from wherever we are at this time to take comfort from these words that you have given us. Amen. I'm now going to ask us to listen to Dave Holmes, who's coming to talk to us about the way his life is at the moment, I think, broadly speaking, and particularly the balance between his work life and his home life. So he's going to talk for about 3 minutes, and then I'm going to have a little chat after that.
Thanks, Richard. I work as a project manager for United Utilities to pay my bills, look after the engineering for some of our construction projects. My main project at the moment is some work to replace the tunnelled sections of the Haweswater Aqueduct, which some of you may know brings drinking water by gravity from the Lake District down to Manchester. My section of that work involves about 21 kilometres of new tunnels, about 4.2 metres diameter, 14 foot in old money, and some big shafts and connecting pipe work. So it's quite a big project. In particular, Richard asked me to mention how work and life has changed in recent years, particularly with the impact of COVID. I've definitely noticed that as work has become more digital, we're able to provide responses to questions more quickly. And that then sets an expectation that we will provide responses more quickly and increases the pressure to get things turned around quickly. My work at United Utilities involves lots of teams who have to be involved in all of our decisions. the people who operate the systems to make sure the drinking water is clean and get it out into the networks, the people who are building the projects, the environmentalists, the planners, the people who deal with customers. I mean, that involves lots of meetings for us. Typically, I could have 20 hours of meetings in a week. One thing that happened when COVID hit was we were all sent home and given access to Teams and Zoom to carry on our meetings. So I'm sure you're aware it's a lot harder to do a meeting over Teams. You don't get that feedback from people, that body language that says, yes, we're agreeing with you or I'm not agreeing with you. And the number of meetings started to grow and grow. And we had lots of extra meetings being set up, and we could have meetings set up from in the morning continuously through to late into the afternoon in some days, which was a struggle for myself and for the rest of the teams, really. There was no time for grabbing a brew, having some lunch, even a comfort break at times, and even doing the work and responding to all the emails that are coming in when you're in the meetings. So we discussed this at work, and we have settled on an embargo where there's no meetings between 12 noon and 1 o'clock, which makes a tremendous difference, just giving you that bit of downtime, just to read your emails, do some work, eat some lunch, maybe stretch your legs quickly before you start the afternoon shift of meetings. I've been lucky working from home, and that since the kids have moved out, we've got spare bedrooms to work in. Some of my colleagues aren't so lucky. They're working from the kitchen table with their toddlers running round. And whilst the sound of Fireman Sam tunes in the background to some of our meetings does liven them up on occasion, it's something they find really awkward. And this has really blurred the boundary between work and home life for them. What some of them refer to as less working from home and more living from work. For me, keeping the boundaries between work life and home life and being able to physically and hopefully mentally close the door on my work at the end of the day is a key part of coping with the stresses of work and not being swamped or overwhelmed by the sheer volume of work that needs to be done and the number of decisions that are needed. Particularly referring to Psalm 23 there, being by grassy pastures. I try and switch off by going for a walk if I can. And still waters is probably particularly relevant to Sally and I's new lockdown hobby of kayaking along the local canals, which is another way to just try and switch off and relax. So, that was it.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. It's great to have someone who starts off the talk, United Utility pay my bills. Because my relationship with United Utilities is I pay their bills.
I have to pay them as well.
It's very interesting what you said. One of the things you said is we had to induce an embargo not to have meetings between 12 and 1. Mm. I suspect a lot of you have retired, but when you were working, it was assumed that people had a break in which to have lunch. And in modern times, that's kind of disappeared, that we have to actually enforce it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And presumably you're working into evenings as well. You're not just finishing at 5. So what would a typical working day take you through to?
At the moment, it's between probably around 6-ish, I suppose. It has been. I had a spell last year, it was between 7 and 8 every evening. So.
Yeah. So I think a lot of us who've held professional responsibilities, we've had times in our lives when we have worked into well into the evenings. But it's becoming part of working life nowadays. I'm particularly concerned for my kids. I don't know if your kids are the same, but my kids are growing up in a post-COVID era where these sorts of things are kind of expected. Yeah. Ollie feels a little bit unhappy leaving work before a certain hour because it's kind of assumed that he'll be there. And I'm not talking about 4:30 or 4:45. He's talking about can I leave between 6 or 6:30 or things like that. Mm. Yeah. And I think Sally's in a similar position, is that
yes,
right? I don't want to speak too much for her.
yes, Sally's the same, yeah. She's got a lot of work to do, and it's that, do I finish now? It's late. But there's always that other email to reply to, or that other thing report to deal with. So, yeah.
That's great. Thanks very much for sharing with us. The 23rd Psalm is probably the nation's favourite, I'd guess. Put your hand up if it's your favourite psalm.
Yeah, that's what I expected. I didn't expect everybody to put the hand up, but perhaps a third or a half of you have this as your favourite psalm. It's a psalm that's recognised by many people outside the church as well as inside the church, and a lot of people will appreciate the words from it, whether they're from a Judeo-Christian background or not. I just want to ask, why do you think this psalm is so popular? What message is it, does it convey? Okay, life will be a journey and it will be good and bad at times. So it's reflecting how life is, yeah? The comfort that somebody is there for you, yeah. And it's a sense of peacefulness pervading the whole psalm, isn't there?
Easy to understand.
It's easy to understand. There's so many bits of the flipping Bible that are so difficult to understand. It's nice to come to a bit that makes sense, isn't it? Yeah. It's discipline, okay? Yeah, we are called to live in a particular manner, aren't we? So it gives a pattern for our lives, yeah.
It addresses death.
It addresses death. It tells us we're going to be comforted as we walk through the valley of death, doesn't it? It's comforting, it's reassuring, it's familiar. When do we most often hear it read? Yeah, so generally, I think, when you hear this psalm, it reminds you of funerals. It often reminds you of particular funerals and particular people that you've lost, and it reinforces that connection with other people. I want to just acknowledge those issues this morning, but I want to explore a part of the psalms that, of this particular psalm that I think we often lose, which is the way that it challenges us. The way that it questions the world, the way the world is, and asks us to respond for that. And I want to do it by focusing on two short phrases. The first phrase is, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." He makes me lie down in green pastures. And I want to draw your attention to the fact that it doesn't say he creates green pastures that I might want to lie down in. He doesn't say he'd like me to lie down in green pastures. He says he makes me lie down in green pastures. It's actually a command, isn't it? It's God telling us what we have to do. We have to lay down in green pastures. And as a command, it links to the rest of the Bible, and particularly the fourth commandment, that we should honour the Sabbath. We should have a time in our lives when we just stop and we reflect and we spend time with God. We're not asked to do this, we're commanded to do it. Jesus had an interesting relationship with the Sabbath. He didn't always keep the Sabbath. I think he did this for particular reasons. I think he realized that the Sabbath is, in some ways, something that's possible for middle-class people who have got ordered lives. If you can do all your preparative work on Saturday evening, you can have a free Sunday. If you've got a disordered life, if you're living a chaotic existence, you don't have that freedom. If you don't know where your food is coming from day to day, you can't store it up on a Saturday night to carry you through a Sunday. If you've got an illness or a disability, you are not granted freedom for a day from that illness and disability. And that meant when Jesus encountered these things, he felt able to push a rigid adherence to the classical Sabbath aside and continue to do things. And I think there's a message there for us today. We've lost the battle to keep Sunday special, haven't we? We remember times when the whole nation would stop on a Sunday, and I think a lot of us still think that was a good thing, but we've lost the battle. I know that because of all of you I see in Waitrose after the service. And that's not to be judgmental, because the reason I see you in Waitrose after the service is because I'm there as well. We've lost the battle to keep a specific day special. But we still need to make sure that there are times in our lives when it fits us to stop and to reflect and to spend time with God, to lie down in green pastures. I think the other thing that I want to draw attention to is another verse which says, I shall not want. Because the reason we don't find time to stop is because we're always doing things. We're always wanting more. There's always an extra experience we want to cram into the day, isn't there? There's always something additional that we want to buy for the house or the garden or for ourselves. We've always got to find extra money, so we have to work longer and longer hours to buy all these things, these services and these products that we think we need. Yet this psalm is saying, I shall not want. It's reminding us that God has given us everything we need. And to be quite honest, we will not be able to stop and lie down by green pastures, still waters, whatever, unless we accept that what we have is enough and we don't need to strive for any more. Of course, that's going to play havoc with the economy. The economy at the moment is based on the idea that companies create more and more stuff and sell it to you with advertising and get bigger and bigger and gets driven more and more in that fashion. So it's really a revolutionary statement in the modern world to say, I have enough. But that's what Christians are called to say. We need to find a different way of living. A way of living that isn't always striving over something more, but is appreciating what we've already got. And that way of living is the kingdom of God. And we should be working towards its coming here on earth as it is in heaven. We need to create a world where we are thankful for what we've got, where we don't feel that we have to strive for anything more, and where we can lie down in green pastures and reflect and recuperate and give thanks for God's gift. Amen. We're now going to move towards thinking about our prayers for others, and I particularly like you to think about people who you know who are struggling at the moment because they're so busy, because they're anxious, because they're uncertain of the future, who are not able to lie down in lush meadows. We're going to start this time, however, by singing our next hymn, Put Peace Into Each Other's Hands.
Put peace into
Put peace into
We're going to put peace, the kids are coming through in a moment, we're going to put peace in each other's hands, and I'm going to now give each of you a little circle of card, and I'd ask you to write on this the name of somebody you'd like to pray for. It might be somebody you know, an individual's name, it might be a category of person, or it might be a category of need that people are facing. But I'd like you to just write on these cards somebody you'd like to pray for and offer them peace at this time. I might need a little bit of help handing these out. Could you handle a few out? And if you could handle a few out, and I'll start. Oh, if you could do that. We've also got some spare pens and pencils. Right, and while we're doing that, if the kids want to come in. Okay. Gonna come in and help. So what have you been talking about amongst yourselves? What have you been playing with?
Water.
You've been playing with water. So we're going to have some water, okay? We need some still waters, don't we? We've been talking about still waters. So do you think you could pour some water into our little tray here? Ooh, there we go. Just gently, gently, gently. That's right. Does somebody else want to do the other one? Yeah? Yeah, do you want it, Elizabeth? So just be gentle. And just, that's it.
Well done.
Just let it go down a little bit more.
Okay. Just wait, Alex.
All right. Okay.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
That's brilliant. Okay. Now, the children have each filled in a little prayer, but they've gone one step further, okay? And they've wrapped it in a flower, okay? So in a moment, I'm going to give you each a little flower, and I'm going to ask you to wrap it over. So the way you wrap it over, each of the petals falls down, and if you fold them in sequence, you'll end up with the flower wrapped in on itself. And if you just show the little video. So if you look at the video, what I mean, put your prayer in the middle of the flower. Yeah, like that. Fold one over and then the next. And then sequentially, just go around, fold them all over until they're all wrapped up in a little bundle. Okay, again, I could need help with a little bit of help handling these out. Okay. So just wrap your prayer in the little flower. Here we go. Oh, sorry. Here we go. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. Right. Now, you all made your flowers outside, didn't you, hey? And what's happened when you put them in the water? They've all opened up, haven't they? When you put these flowers in the water, they will open up. So I'm going to invite you all now to just come and put your flower in the water, by the still water. And it takes about 2 minutes for them to open up, so you won't see your own flower open up, but you'll see the other flowers opening up and those prayers being opened up to God. So let's come and present our prayers. Okay? If there's anybody that doesn't want to come up, put your hand in the air and I'm sure one of the kids will come and collect your flower for you. So I don't want to read all of these, and perhaps it may not be appropriate to read all of these, but I'm just going to offer some of these prayers in our prayers. So let us pray. Let us pray for the people of Ukraine, Yemen, and Syria. Let us pray for David. Let us pray for Margaret. Let us pray for Theo Eves. Let us pray for Susan. Let us pray for our families. Let us pray for people impacted by drought and famine in East Africa. Let us pray for families, for Helen, for people in need, for those who are suffering with illness. Let all these people be led physically and metaphorically to still waters that can heal and provide hope in this chaotic world. And we offer these prayers through our Saviour, our Good Shepherd. And let's unite in prayer as we say the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll close by singing the words of the 23rd Psalm and move directly on to the blessing we learnt earlier after that.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters, and his goodness restores my soul.
As we sing the piece, let's sing it to each other like we would normally say the grace.
Growing in you.
go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.